I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right.
Are you at work right now?
Yeah.
I'm sitting in my dressing room with your husband, who is obnoxiously wearing a USC School of Dramatic Arts hat. I feel like the alumni of USC tends to be the most braggadocious.
That's probably true.
They absolutely are. They're aggressive in their school spirit.
I love you, Amy.
That's probably true. You're also a professor there, by the way, so please don't talk shit about your school.
If my kid can go to USC, I would be very happy. So
wait a minute. What are you talking about?
Well, I think that kids can go to SC for free if we're Jack can go to SC because you're a professor.
Well, no, but I think you have to be like tenured. I mean,
Before we get to the ad reads, first of all, Amy, thank you so much for joining us. People are been asking where you are, and hey, you've been busy, you know, making our country proud, putting away criminals.
Well, we're on air right now?
Sure.
Okay. Hi, everyone.
Sure.
I'm glad we're in a good mood.
Yeah.
Did that seem passive aggressive to you, Amy?
No, actually, no. I'm glad we're in a good mood.
Why would Amy, will you take over from here?
Yeah, Amy, why don't you tell us what's going on with you?
Well, the big news from Sim and me is that I'm pregnant.
Yay! I'm so thrilled. I'm so happy.
So 13
it,
weeks.
Happened. I'm 13 and a half weeks. I'm almost done my first trimester. It certainly happened a lot more quickly than we expected, but I am very grateful.
I remember you coming over for a dinner party and you had thought that you were pregnant, but then you kind of weren't sure. You must have known, right? Like somewhere.
Yeah. So I had this feeling like I, but of course I'd never been pregnant before, so I didn't know how to compare it, but I just felt like something was different. But the first test I took was negative. So I thought like my body is just playing tricks on me, but that feeling kind of didn't go away. And so then that night, if you remember, we were like offered me wine. I was like, you know, I think I'm gonna pass just in case. And then we got ourselves a little honeymoon baby. So
I'm so excited.
It's exciting. I mean, of course, you've known this for a while. It's exciting. It's scary. So if any dads out there have any advice for me,
yeah, we need all the advice.
Don't have any male listeners. There'll be no dad advice for me.
Love your woman.
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Sim's been great. I think Sim's actually been enjoying my pregnancy.
I love that.
I eat quite a bit more.
Good job.
Thank you. I'm a lot more fun to share food with. Listen, I'm not going to lie. I'm a little scared, but I'm more excited than scared. But then again, how can I not be? How can anyone not be in this situation? But it's all amazing stuff, of course.
Yeah, Sim was definitely in denial when I told him.
Oh, should we say the sex?
Do you want to say it now, or do you want to keep that under wraps for a little longer?
No, we'll just say it. It's a boy.
It's a boy.
Yeah.
So that was also surprising. Sim's face when that was found out, that was pretty priceless.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, I'm so thrilled for you guys. Epidural.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to being on leave so the baby and I can come hang out with you guys when you record.
This is going to be great.
Love that.
It's going to be great.
Which I'm sure that's exactly what you want, is a newborn infant crying as you're trying to record a podcast.
Well, and you guys told me that I could name the baby.
Did we say that?
Yeah. That was actually really funny. Remember, Anna texted that and I responded like, ha ha. And Anna writes like, that sounded like a nervous laugh.
I remember that.
Absolutely a nervous laugh.
I'm sure she has some ideas. And I wouldn't be surprised if she kind of slipped me a few of those ideas over the next 6 months. But we'll see. But
Trojan. Trojan Sarna.
Trojan Sarna. There you go. All right. So before we get to the ad reads, Amy, will you indulge us for a second? We just need to really apologize to a segment of our actually, we should apologize to all of our listeners.
Well, you know, we
sometimes we get
mess
things
up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, I feel like it's my fault. And sometimes we're not as thoughtful, or I'm not as thoughtful as I could be, and I do want to apologize and clarify a couple of things, right, Sim?
Yeah, well, I mean, This was difficult because there was a deal breaker question from the Heather Graham episode from a couple weeks ago. And the question was...
The deal breaker was, you're dating a guy who dated his college roommate.
Right.
And the implication was that he had dated another guy. And it was really insensitive because I never want that idea to sort of be portrayed in any kind of negative light.
Right.
And I'm really sorry because I value so much all of our listeners, and I didn't mean to put Heather in an awkward position. And
we just handled it wrong. We took it out of the episode pretty early on, and then we did get some emails, and I want to read one of the emails because I think this is important to read. Do you mind, Anna?
No,
if I read
it? Would love that.
Okay, so this is from Mariah, and she's in Indiana, and she said, first off, I just want to say I love the podcast. I've been listening from episode one. I look forward to a new episode every week. I'm in the middle of listening to the episode with Heather Graham, and it's during the Deal Breaker segment. Let me preface this by saying I'm not one of those social media crusaders wanting to be mean or call anyone out in a negative way. I just wanted to give you some food for thought. So the question was basically, if the guy had dated a man previously but was attempting to date Heather, would that be a deal breaker? All a matter of opinion as to that being a deal breaker, of course. I am a bisexual identifying individual. In the world right now, there's a lot of representation for the bisexual community, and there is a lot of misinformation about us. It took me a long time to accept my sexuality and to come out to my friends and family. I only just came out last year on my birthday, and it's been absolutely fantastic ever since. Hooray for being true to yourself. Anyway, I just want to say that if somebody has once dated somebody of the same gender and also somebody of the opposite gender, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're secretly gay or that they're just a confused straight person. Very likely, they could be bisexual. The only reason I even bring this up is because I love the show so much, and as a bisexual person, it's really tough to see the media always portraying us in this light, or rather totally ignoring our existence altogether. We're either secretly gay or we are confused / experimenting straight person. As a 50-50 bisexual, I can tell you I am definitely not confused. I know exactly what I like, and I'm not a secret lesbian, LOL. It also kind of hurts when people are fearful to be intimate with somebody who's bi because they think we're just going to fuck everybody and are bound to cheat. Also, not true. There are definitely all different kinds of people in the world. There are bisexual people who have open relationships. There are bisexual people who probably cheat. I'd say we do just as much as straight people do. I am also a serial monogamist. I'm also married to a man, and I would never cheat on him in any scenario imaginable. Now, does that mean I don't find women attractive sexually? Definitely not. I'm very attracted to both men and women. Lucky for me, my husband doesn't and has not ever feared that about me. Again, all a matter of opinion as to whether this is a deal breaker or not. I just wanted to shed a positive light on the bi community and perhaps give people something to consider. Thanks, Sim. Again, I love the show, and I really love you and Anna's platonic friendship. My friend is the dude. We've been friends ever since we were 13. It's a rare thing. Much love, Mariah.
Mariah, thank you so much for your support and your insight and giving us pause and reflection on sometimes what fucking idiots we can be.
We apologize, dear listeners. We're really sorry.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
But that wasn't the only controversial thing from that episode. Huh? So during the advice call with...
Oh, boy.
So do you remember the advice call? So our caller, she was being bullied by her coworkers.
And we told her to not go to HR, right?
Yeah, she was doing
what
really well at work.
Morons
she's,
are we?
She's doing really well at work.
We're
and,
so fucking
and we're
lame.
Telling her to conserve... We're officially unqualified.
We need an HR department.
I'm like, Amy, how'd you like the episode? She goes, the episode was great, but you totally got the advice part wrong. And of course we did.
By the way, I don't think I was the only one with that opinion.
No, you're not. In fact, Chelsea, who is a senior HR manager, she's in Brooklyn. She actually wrote us an email. Can I read this email to you, Anna?
Yes, please.
All right. So here is her qualified advice, the advice that we should have given.
We need to employ a therapist. Someone legit.
Oh,
anyway,
man.
Okay, please read
all right,
the email.
I'm going to read this. So Chelsea writes, I was listening to the pod today and wanted to reach out to help the caller with the mean girl situation at her job. I've been in HR for 7+ years and I'm always on the side of the employee first, business second. So I thought I might be able to send these tips along to you to pass on to her. She sounded so defeated and hearing about those awful women really irritated the crap out of me. Hopefully my advice helps. And here we go. And this is what you're supposed to do. Document every incident, including naming the witnesses and including the manager slash leadership members that did or said nothing to help. It'll be useful later if you need to speak to HR to escalate things. Talk to your bosses, managers about it, and ask them for advice on how to deal with it. Ask them to help you and advocate for you. Document the convo in a recap email thanking your boss for the convo and putting steps you agreed on to help the situation. Again, save this and all correspondence for later. Save all convos, documents that make any reference to your good job performance, including yearly reviews, positive feedback, etc. All job performance-related info. Save this in a folder in case you need to prove wrongful termination if things ever come to it. If talking to your bosses and managers fails, write an email, document everything always, to HR explaining the situation and calmly expressing how they are making you feel. How is this affecting your job, and how can that potentially affect the company because of your role? Attach your notes about the incidents, your recap of the convo with your boss, and explain that you've tried to handle this situation with your boss but failed and now you need HR's help. Come with solutions. Include some suggestions of your own on what you think might help and what you'd like to do to take on and help the situation. Find allies. Chances are these women are not only doing this to you. Form a coalition. Ask those allies to speak up for you when they witness the behavior and vow to do the same for them. Ask them to speak to their bosses and HR too. There's power in numbers. Worst case, if all that fails, contact an employment lawyer if things do not get better because you have a case for a hostile work environment. Well, there you go, Anna.
I wish someone had told me this years ago, because I think as an actor, you're sort of an independent agent and you're sort of hustling around town. And so it sort of feels like, who is on my team? Who would I ever approach if there was, if there was harassment? You're also moving from job to job. But that is amazing advice, Chelsea. Thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time. And I hope that people will heed that advice. And
I hope so too.
We can make the world a better place and a safer work environment for people who are getting fucking bullied. Hi, Zach.
Hi.
Before you got here, we were...
drinking.
Sim and I were throwing around an idea of a new podcast
called Caitlin,
which we wanted you to be a part of.
Yeah.
As well.
Okay, I'll be in it. I don't have a podcast. It's very cool to have a podcast, and I know you have a very successful one. I really am late to the game, but I'd like to get in on this action.
But you know what? You are the one that's going to make podcasting famous.
Like, I'm going to try.
It's going to make it pervasive.
I mean, I'm going to try. I'm putting it on ABC.
Everyone will know what a podcast is after your show comes out.
I hope so.
So, the idea for a new podcast.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just start it off, right?
Sure. You want to pitch it to him?
Yeah. All right. Yo, what's up, motherfuckers? This is Chad with Bros Before Hoes. I gotta work on my male voice. Tyler?
That's your male impersonation? we're so horrible.
do kids say yo anymore?
I don't know if yo is still around.
What's up, brah?
What's up, bro?
Brah.
What's up, brah? We got Bros Before Hoes coming at you. Not live, because it's a fucking podcast, dicks. We're going to talk about pussy. We're going to talk about tits. We're going to talk about wingdings. I'm here.
This is just so I'm clear. This is a guy's podcast.
So this is, wait, what's the target demo? Yeah, obviously,
what's the premise?
Right,
it's so, just guys talking about guy stuff.
By the way, Zach, this hasn't been developed. This is
we're talking about Becca.
I couldn't tell; it hadn't been workshopped.
Becca's not wearing her fucking sports bra. Yo, Chad, too. Did you clock that?
I clocked it, yo. This is the worst podcast ever.
What?
Wait, you really thought that, first of all, Bros Before Hoes is a great title for a podcast.
Especially if it's by a woman.
Thank you. Thank you. Yo, brah. We're here with Zach Braff. Woo! Fuck yeah, dude. How much pussy you getting lately?
Wait, this is your impression.
The show should be, by the way. I think it should just be called Anna Faris Presents How Much Pussy You Getting Lately.
How much pussy you getting lately? And Zach Braff.
And it's a very short show. The guy comes on, he's like, oh, I'm doing all right. Thank you for having me. and it's over.
Yo, thanks for being here, Zach. How much pussy you getting lately?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for very...
But like, be specific, yo.
I gotta go. Next up, Al Pacino.
So no bros before hoes. I don't know. I love it.
You know what? I think there's an audience there somewhere.
Oh, thanks.
Your
that
peeps
sounds
are
better.
Running around with
I know. Well, did
buttons.
You have a little bit of a...
You have a posse.
Yeah. An underpaid...
You have minions.
Hardworking... believing types.
Yeah, they believe in you. Do you think that you're kind of like a godhead to them?
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay.
Yes. To most people. Am I not to you as well?
They probably both have small tattoos of you somewhere on their bodies.
Oh, God, I hope so. My only dream is to like find out where.
Have you ever seen someone with an odd tattoo related to you, either of you or a quote from you on their body?
No. I wish, no, but the reason you're asking the question
is
because...
Large.
What was it?
It was like most of someone's thigh in a picture of me.
Of like a character?
In a costume I wore in a film I made called Wish I Was Here. I was in a spacesuit. And it was me in the spacesuit over almost all of his, I think it was a male, I'm pretty sure it was a male's thigh.
But how did
also,
you
I was the monkey
see?
In Oz, the Great and Powerful, and someone covered their whole hand and forearm with the monkey.
So you inspire body art.
I have. I just wondered if you had ever seen yourself.
No.
If you're listening to this and you know of an Anna tattoo, please make sure it gets to her.
Oh,
I'm sure it exists.
But wait,
we could probably Google it.
Was this over like social media?
Yeah, they sent it to me on usually Instagram or Twitter. They'll like tag me on Instagram with a tattoo of my face on their body.
Amazing.
Or sometimes quotes from stuff I've done.
Like what?
Like something from Garden State or Scrubs or something that'll be like on their body.
Because I was hoping that, I don't know, I was hoping that somebody would be waiting outside of your house to like ready to show you their commitment to you.
I'm afraid of that. I don't want them.
Well, of course, it's terrifying.
I don't want them
but
outside my home.
Over social media. It's
social
like,
media, but they're like in the Ukraine and it's okay.
Ah, yes, the Ukraine.
Or, I mean, you know, or somewhere far.
Right.
They're not outside. Like, hey, man, morning. Look at the tattoo I got. That would probably freak me out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I would think in the Ukraine it's cold. So you're not, like, bragging to all your friends that you got a tattoo of an American celebrity on your thigh.
Unless you're super psyched about it. I mean, he did put it on his social media. Like, check out the art and the new ink.
It's true. That's true. I as like his future wife,
comma.
Actually, I would find that fucking fascinating. I think I would be like, "Wow, that's fucking awesome."
I understand that, like a quote that resonated with you, but a face is a major step.
I remember seeing Sylvester Stallone on like Oprah or a talk show years ago, and he said something like for his wife's like, I don't know, 27th birthday, whatever it was, that he got this tattoo and then he reveals it and it's her face like all across his chest and thinking, is that a gesture of love? I don't know. Because if I was Sylvester Stallone's wife, I don't know if I would be like, well, now we're good, babe. Like, I don't know.
I think if you're putting, it's a gesture like forever, obviously, because I've
but
now
drawn
you. But
is it to convince
you.
Oneself or is it to convince the other person?
I think both.
Hmm. Right. Do you have any tattoos?
No, I thought about getting one, but every time I think about it, I don't know what I want to look at for the rest of my life. But I think they look cool sometimes on some people. I'm looking at my forearm because that's where I think
I know,
it would go.
I know. What have you been tempted by?
I don't know. Like something shape-wise, not something like specific. Or some sort of doodle.
All right. Well, maybe you could do bunny ears, you know, for the house bunny to symbolize me.
Oh, yeah. I would like to do that. By the way, you haven't really decorated this dressing room like... for your specific taste. Not knowing you that well, I don't know that you're a huge F Troop fan. But maybe you are. Maybe like you're the reason you got into entertainment was F Troop.
Ferris, F Troop. Fuck yeah. No, I keep, you know, I didn't know if we were going to get canceled. First, we were told that we weren't allowed to hang stuff.
You're not allowed to decorate?
Well, listen, I don't have a lot of power.
Well, this show's been on a long time. How long has this show been on?
5 years.
See, I feel like 5 years, you can hang a poster.
Yeah. Well, I did get that massage chair.
I know. And, so, and for those of you listening, the massage chair takes up really one quarter of the room. Yeah, it's the size of a VW bug.
It's massive.
I've never seen such a massage chair. And I'd like to try it.
Well, you know what? You're in for a tough time.
I should do the rest of the podcast from the massage chair.
Okay, can we ask you some questions?
Yeah, ask away.
Okay. So, these are called Just Answer, but you can also feel free to expand because I'm, you know, I'm not a dictator.
Okay. What is your show?
The show Mom?
No, F Troop.
Oh, F Troop. Ferris Troop. Yeah, Ferris Troop.
I mean, if someone came in here, they'd be like, fucking hell, she loves F Troop.
Can't get enough of it. It ran from 1965 to 1967.
I know that about F Troop. It had a really short run for such a mega hit.
Okay.
I'm assuming it was shot on the Warner Brothers lot.
No, look at it. It was shot in Texas.
No, that's like a corner of the lot. They like put up a fucking fort.
No.
Do you use your safe?
Sometimes. Why?
I've not something you see very often in a celebrity dressing room, safe.
Okay. So
probably missing 20s all over the place.
Being in LA,
yeah.
Have you noticed qualities or traits in women that are different from where you grew up? I know it's kind of a broad question.
I think people come out here I don't come out here unless you have a lot of drive and desire to make it. I think people who move out here, male and female, are very hungry for success in entertainment.
And maybe food.
Yeah, because they can't afford it when they first get out here, like me. You know, it's a city you come to with a lot of gumption and drive and moxie.
So is that an attractant or does that...
It depends on the girl, or the woman or man, I suppose. Or you're asking about women, so I'll stop doing both genders.
No, do.
I think, yeah, because sometimes it can be off-putting. It's like, wow, you're so hungry for career success, you're not even paying attention to anything else.
Do you think that, because we were talking earlier about how, especially in your 20s, when you come out here and you have to, this field, along with a lot of other fields, requires so much dedication that there's a bit of like checking off the list in terms of relationships. It's like, okay, that one seems okay. I will do that. And then that part's done so I can still like focus on career because it just requires so much. And I think that everyone is sort of any ambitious person has to dedicate, 80 to 90% of their energy to that, and then
to making it,
yeah,
or to keeping your career going,
yeah.
I mean, that's my life. I mean, I haven't been very sick. I'm never been married. I'm 42 years old.
I would say congratulations.
I mean, I think there's plenty of people in my life who would say that I was so focused on my goals that I probably could have had a successful marriage and a child by now if I was less 1,000% focused.
It's hard to spread yourself thin and make other people very happy, like in your life, that want companionship.
It's tricky. I mean, I have not been successful at it thus far, but I think 43 is the year I make it all work.
Oh, fuck yeah, it is. Okay, what's the sexiest quality you find in a woman?
Funny, making me laugh. I mean, obviously, it goes without saying, first and foremost, there's a physical attraction. You want to sleep with the person or not. I think men and women both go, yeah, I would or I wouldn't. Or I guess I would or I wouldn't. Or man, I really would love to, or I really would not love to.
I don't know if women do it that instantaneously. Like, I don't know. I, at least
the way I was brought up, I was told that women will know within a minute of meeting you whether or not they're going to sleep with you.
What I think is the difference is that it isn't necessarily like with men, it's these stereotypic attraction things, but with a woman might be more open to being, I mean, I feel like the women I know have more of a wide range of tastes.
Absolutely.
Whereas men are like, oh, I like this kind of looking person. And, but then after the initial, am I attracted to this person sexually? It's, does she make me laugh? That's everyone I've really liked has made me laugh.
Have you ever been with a woman or dated a woman that you weren't initially sexually attracted to, but then after you got to know her personality, you found her attractive sexually?
Yes, and talent.
Yeah.
I've been with women that at first I didn't necessarily have that first initial holy right. shit thing, but then there was something she did that was her skill, whether it be being an amazing actress or being an amazing singer or being an amazing writer.
Well, passion, right? Like passion
but also
very...
talent. I mean, like I can look at someone who's a singer who I wouldn't necessarily have been sexually attracted to initially and then go, holy shit, that voice, that is the sexiest person I've ever seen all of a sudden.
Sim?
Same. I'm completely with that. That happened to me. It happens to me all the time. No, it doesn't happen to me all the time.
I was about to say, careful.
It's happened to me a few
Easy.
Times, definitely.
Sim just got married.
Really? Yeah. And how long did you date before you got married?
We dated for...
Two years? Is that right?
Maybe 2 years, yeah.
But he knew.
I knew within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I was done.
He told her to not go out on any more dates.
Yeah, I made her cancel all of her other online dates. I'm 40.
Oh, so good. There's hope for me, maybe, because...
Are you kidding me? Of course.
Because you're a 40-year-old who found true love at 38.
Exactly. Exactly. There is hope. But are you actively looking?
Yeah.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Do you use social media?
No, I mean, I have flirted like on Instagram before, but I'm
but you
not,
don't
I'm not
use like a
there.
Bumble or a
no,
thing.
No.
What about the
thing?
Raya, the celebrity?
I've tried Raya. Actually, I dated a girl for 9 months off that, but I turned it off now, but because it didn't go that well.
Wait, don't you like a theme song with your post?
Yeah, mine's the Different Strokes theme song.
But we've talked to a few different celebrities that have used Raya, and most of them have like turned it off or whatever, but what is the...
I tried it because I was intrigued by this idea of it, and I actually ended up dating a woman who's great off of it for 7 months, but then I just felt like, okay, I tried that, I'm not sure it's for me, and you can turn it off. The answer to your question is, in our line of work, I'm meeting actors, I'm meeting occasionally a producer or a writer type. The idea behind wanting to try it was like, wouldn't it be great to date someone who's in where I live back and forth between New York and LA, who's in my city, but maybe isn't an actress or a writer or a producer or a whatever, editor. And so I mean, not too far, I met a photographer, but at least it was different and it was interesting and it was intriguing to be dating someone outside of the entertainment industry, even though fashion photography is, I guess, the entertainment industry.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know why I was just thinking about that Tom Hanks movie. You know, it's called either Crash or Overboard or I'm on an Island. What's it called?
Castaway.
Castaway.
Yeah. It just occurred to me, like, maybe that woman at the end is the only perfect woman out there, like sending artwork through FedEx. And, you know, she lives in the country. So there you go.
I'm not sure how that relates to my story.
Because I have a whole list of men in professions that you should not date.
Right.
And I haven't been able to figure out the female equivalent.
Have you ever used these services?
No, I haven't.
Do you no longer date men in entertainment?
No, that's the problem. I love our industry. I love like bouncing ideas and like the creative passion and somebody who understands like the schedule and the what I want to do and how I want my voice to be heard. And so
I think, you know, who you're meeting aside, it is the trick. The lifestyle of it is tricky for someone who's not in the industry, because you all of a sudden you're away for a while. And I imagine that's very hard to keep going with someone who's an orthodontist.
Although
you'd have the best fucking teeth.
Oh my God. This is an odd question.
Go.
You can answer it if you'd like. What woman would you trade places with for a day? Sim loved it. I like it too.
I think it's an interesting question. I mean, I don't know what my answer would be. I don't know what my answer would be.
Would it be? It would be like Pamela Anderson. I haven't thought about it.
What the heck? What?
Yeah.
That's a what a weird.
Just one day.
Pamela Anderson. Where did that come from?
You want to give like a fucking.
Why would I
want to
trade places with Pamela Anderson for a day? That
makes
no sense.
Because
you want
to feel what it's like to have like tits and.
I can feel my wife's tits. I can.
No. But I'm saying like you on your body. Because if you're just.
My answer, I think as a woman, you thought that our male answer would be like, oh, I could fondle my sexy vagina. And that's not where my brain
No, exactly.
That's really not where my brain
No, not
Do you want to, like...
Imagine you said, like, okay, now I'm, like, insert hottest girl ever here. I'm Emily Ratajkowski, okay, whatever her name is. And I'm just sitting there feeling my own boobs. Well, that's not really what I would do.
Yeah.
But, okay, but it's just for day.
Look at these. Look what I got. Look how great these are. And there's my vagina.
I actually think it'd be very helpful if you guys... changed like just for the day.
Yeah.
With like just
I feel
just
an Anna Faris movie coming on. Can we do a movie where I turn into you and you turn into me? We swap sexes.
Yes, I would love that. Bra. Fuck yeah, dude.
Fuck yeah, bra.
There's never been a boyfriend girlfriend switching places movie. I don't think there has been.
Is it not time? We're on the Warner Brothers lot.
Right,
let's go pitch it. This movie pitches itself. We just walk in right now. We bring the F Troop poster. It's going to be like this. We put the F Troop poster down and we go, need we say more? It's this, but with us switching. Imagine this, but it's Anna and I switching places.
I would green light in a second. I think it's a winner.
Oh, man. I went to like a weird like nipple waxing scene in my head.
Do you have your nipples waxed?
What's a nipple
wax? No. I was just like thinking if I was a dude and I would look down and be like, oh, shit, fuck, there's some hair. There's a little bit of fuzz there. All right,
do women wax their nipples?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know. If not you must have girlfriends that do or don't.
Is that a thing, nipple waxing?
I don't know. Listen, I'm just trying to pitch fucking comedic scenes here,
now
dude.
I need to Google, do women wax their nipples?
Fuck. Yo.
Maybe one of your minions.
Are you Googling
it? Can you Google that for me? Do women wax their nipples?
I wonder if it's like if something is advertised at a salon.
I'm sure they do. When you're doing the vagine, that you might go, hey, check out.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you throw these in?
Right. Yeah, I'm sure it's the same. It's the same like wax.
It's the same woman, right?
Right.
She does nipples too.
What is it?
Yes.
Oh, so you do it yourself. You can't get it done professionally.
I'm sure you can. If they're down there doing your vagina and anus, they'll throw in nipples for free.
It's an add-on. Or
why are you laughing?
I'm just wondering what your scene would be as me.
I picture you going to the waxer and be like, hey, Josephine, throw in these guys.
Yeah. But that's, I'm you, but what would the equivalent be?
Like, what do you mean?
So I'm in your body.
Right. Oh, well, you're because men, we have to. We don't go to a salon.
We have to take a razor in the
shower and keep it all at bay.
So that's what I do.
Yeah, I'd love to see that scene.
am I like terrible?
Wait,
at,
in
like,
the in the body switching I, movie, we're yeah,
exactly. Am I urinating my, all over the place?
Yeah, you're playing with my penis. To... Not like you're shooting your. You're so excited to be able to aim your piss everywhere that you're just like pissing all over the walls.
Yeah, but I also know that I have to fucking clean it up.
No, you don't. You're Anna Faris.
That's
Walk
true.
Away.
Fuck yeah. You're going to have to put like little Cheerios.
I remember when we were kids, my brother was so excited. We were at Disney World and we were at the urinals and he was just so excited. And he went, woohoo! And he kind of like just fucking threw some...
Doused a few people?
No, doused the wall in excitement. And I always remembered that story. Like, he was so excited as a young boy. He was like X-ing. I have a cock in my hands and I'm at Disneyland. Take that wall.
Yo, brah. This has been fucking real. Bros before hoes.
Oh, we're still within the world of the bros. Oh my God. That was like inception. We were back in the bros.
I had no idea. All right.
Hey, so as a director, as a director, Zach Braff.
Yes, bring it down to NPR level.
Dear listeners, by the way, we have the most brilliant Zach Braff. That's when the interns are supposed to
be. He's a writer, director.
They're eating nachos.
Writer, director, actor, composer. What else?
You are...
Composed anything?
A Libra?
I've sometimes hummed stuff to my composer and gone make it like that.
Race car driver. A tattoo dreamer.
I have my pilot's license.
Well, that's impressive.
I've flown places.
That's impressive.
I was trying to think of other things to brag about. That's about all I got.
You play a podcaster on TV.
I play a podcaster on the new, hopefully hit ABC comedy, Alex, Inc.
Which is so charming, by the way. We saw the
She didn't watch it.
And
she
watched directed a little bit.
She did not watch
it. I watched the whole thing. I watched actually both episodes.
You
first.
Watched none of it. She
asked me
heard
questions.
The title.
You know what? Quiz me. I guarantee you. Did you like it?
I
loved it. It was
both
so,
episodes you saw.
I didn't know you directed the second one. I didn't look at the credits for the second one, but I knew you directed the first one. But so charming. And the kids are amazing.
Yes. They're going to steal the show.
The kids are amazing.
You didn't see the fucking show.
I have a fucking show here to do.
You're drinking
and I have
Chardonnay
catch
in your dressing room in your massage chair staring at F Troop.
But she knows it's based on Alex Bloomberg.
Yeah, she knows that I'm
she
in
knows
it.
It's based
this
based
is what
on
she
Alex
knows.
Bloomberg.
This is what she knows. I'm in it.
So
and
wait,
maybe
but,
it's ABC.
7:30 Midwestern time?
Yeah. I think.
Thursdays?
Mountain. I think they call it mountain.
Mountain time.
Yeah.
Mountain time.
I went to school in Chicago, and it was always weird because the primetime shows come on at 7. Yeah. Oh, you didn't know that about me. Someone read a sentence.
Didn't read. I don't know how to read. Someone told me something.
Someone glanced at a sentence.
And I was like, no, wait, I'm from the Northwest.
And then you found a way to...
Northwest. Wait. Oh. Yeah. That's...
You know why it's called Northwestern?
No.
Because when the school was founded, it was the northwestern part of the United States of America.
Oh, my God.
You're bored.
No, it's not boring. It's just, I just love it that that was probably like such a freshman fact.
It was like on the tour, yeah. I took the tour with my dad, and they do it in the spring because it's beautiful in Evanston, Illinois in the spring. And then you get there and it's the coldest fucking place on earth. And you're like, this isn't like the tour. Where's the water, the beautiful lakefront? Anyway.
But did you like it?
I loved it.
Wait, you were theater? My wife went to Northwestern.
I was
as well.
A film major. I like your wife more now.
Yeah. Well, the theater school and the film school are great. They're
I was a film major but took acting classes because I wanted to do both.
As a director, when you're on the set and an actor suddenly either right before the scene or maybe even stops a scene, says, why would I say that?
I hate that. Just say the fucking line. Sorry, was that your question?
So it's never happened to you?
Happens all the time. Not all the time. I think I've worked with a couple actors in my life who have been so bad at that they've sort of ruined the experience.
And do you think that that's like a hesitation of like actually stepping up to the plate and acting? Or do you think it's like they haven't thought it through well enough? Or because...
The problem is when it happens on set, because as a filmmaker, one thing a lot of people who aren't in the business might not know is a big part of your job is doing it all fast. And that's from someone who's made a $2 million indie and, you know, a $26 million studio movie. No matter what the case, or even in student films, a big part of your job is I have to get all this, get it good, and get it fast because I can't go into overtime with the unions or I'll be yelled at or fired. So when you have an actor who's like, can we talk? You're like, oh, you're fucking kidding me. We could have talked in those weeks of rehearsal. We could have talked at rap. We could have talked at lunch.
Yep.
But now you want to talk when I've got that famous person here and that famous person here and the producer giving me the evil eye, you're screwing things up. Because it's a race. No matter what level show you're on, you have less time than you need.
Of course. Well, and I've worked with actors who say that kind of thing. And I find it so frustrating because to me it does feel like, are you stalling? Or like why wouldn't you have thought about this before? Or it does feel like an incredibly indulgent
move. I've had it happen when the person won't say something that's really funny. They just don't like it. And
did you ever suspect that maybe that's because they were afraid of sort of hitting the ball out of the park or the attempt to hitting the ball out of the park?
In this example, the joke was a bit risque and the actor decided on the day he didn't want to say it. And I was really bummed because it was funny as shit. And so then I asked, then I didn't know what to do. And so I asked, didn't matter who said the line. And so I asked another actor to say it. And then the first actor got very upset.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, why are you upset? You didn't want to say it. This guy thinks it's hilarious. And the joke's so funny, it's in the fucking trailer of the movie.
Listen, if you need me to say a raunchy joke,
I hear that you're good at those.
Hire.
I hear that you're good at those.
And I don't ever go to set and say, why would I say this? I just do it. Team player.
I'm more aware now of hiring actors that are not only good, but also aren't going to ruin the time that we're going to have together.
I think more than ever, it feels like there's has to be a sense of teamwork a bit, especially making comedies.
I know, but now more than ever, I do. It took this long in the industry to do more investigating. Like, and I don't know, being on the producing, directing side, if actors really know that, like, now we call about everyone, because it's like, it's, if you've had a couple bad experiences, you'll call 10 people and be like, how was your time, because, you know, it's too much of your life to have ruined by someone.
Do you think that that's the shift from just like the superstardom from the 80s and 90s, how we used to have like these movie stars that, you know, studios would put up with all kinds of crazy, insane behavior, in a shift to more content-based appeal?
That's a very good question. Probably your best.
Thank you.
Maybe it has to do with just getting, as a creator of stuff, for me getting to a point, there's plenty of directors who go, I don't care how annoying he or she is, I'll make it work. I think it gets to a point in one's career where they go, I don't care what you're paying me or how cool the person is. If they're horrible, I don't want to do it. I've had people that are heroes of mine that enough people said, dude, trust me, don't. That we just didn't, because it was like, that won't be fun at all. You'll get to work with someone you looked up to, but it'll be 6 weeks of misery. And it's like, okay, well, I'd rather have someone that I fucking like, who's cool, who's nice, who's kind.
Yes. Yeah.
Kindness.
And a kindness, and which also usually correlates, like, it's usually in conjunction with an exchangeability. So, like, a completely narcissistic actor can be very internal and interesting, but then as the actor being opposite to that person, it feels isolating and alone, you know.
Well, like, and you're not going to do anything good if you're not comfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, as an actress or as a director or anything, you're not going to, I bet you would say that the best stuff you've done is when you were comfortable and you liked everyone and you felt relaxed to be wrong and to be stupid and to be silly.
Everything I've done is the best stuff I've done.
I don't agree.
Whoa. Have you seen all of my work?
I haven't seen the entire canon, but I loved you in F Troop.
Oh, thank you.
You know, 66 was my favorite year because it was right in the middle. How long is this podcast going?
Yeah,
I feel like
I could
talk for weeks.
Really? You do? Oh, yeah. Good. Okay, well, I do want to talk to you, but do we want to do the game?
No.
Or should we go to callers?
How long do these usually go?
Here's
2 hours?
Well, we have a lot planned, but I do want to get to the calls just because.
I can do anything. I don't have to be anywhere till tomorrow.
So we do have like an advice portion.
All right.
So yeah. We're going to give
Are these
advice.
Real callers?
Real callers, yeah. Who wrote in asking for
actual
relationship
advice. Oh, they wrote in. They're not on
advice.
The phone. That would be advanced.
No, they are. They wrote in, but we actually selected the actual callers.
This is a fancy show.
Yeah.
It doesn't look fancy.
Yeah, go ahead and start dialing.
Can I take a picture of you?
Okay.
We're calling them right now?
Yeah. We're getting it. We can take the picture. Don't worry about it.
I don't know what's going on. By the way, only Sim does.
Only I do.
Hello. So
wait, hey, Annalisa, hang on a second, because Zach Braff right now is taking a picture of Anna.
Hi.
Did you get the shot?
I got it. She looked adorable. Hi.
Okay. Annalisa, say hi to Anna. She's in Washington State, and she's 25.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Anna. Hi, Zach.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We're just drinking wine at
in my dressing room
at 4:15 on a Tuesday.
So
and wonderful,
Annalisa. So we're gonna talk. We're trying to give you some help right now. What's going on with your fiance?
So my fiance and I have been together for 6 years now, and we have a very strong, trusting relationship. I would consider us to be best friends, and we always kind of have been. And I've never, ever doubted his faithfulness to me in our relationship. However, something happened recently that made me a little bit uncomfortable. Last week, I came home from work, and my fiance kind of stopped me at the door and said, I need to tell you something because I don't want you to be upset about it, but I hung out with a girl today and had a couple of drinks at her house this afternoon. And this girl in particular was one of his close friends' recent ex-girlfriends, who I know a little bit, not very much. But anyways, my fiance hangs out with this friend maybe about once a month or so. And sometimes the girlfriend is there with them at their house when they're hanging out. But I never really had this impression that my fiance was even friends with or close to this girlfriend whatsoever. So it was a little bit of a shocker for me to hear that he had, you know, hung out with her independently. And I just never would have thought that he would have been friends with her. So he said it was purely a friendly encounter and that she invited him to hang out and that he knew he should tell me about it because we talked about this in our relationship about what to do if we hang out with someone of the opposite sex and to just tell the other person about it, and that's fine. And he said he wanted to stay friends with her and that he was probably going to hang out with her again in the future. And he was wondering how I felt about that.
I don't feel good about it so
I feel
far.
A lot of things about that. So it's a kind of a complicated situation, just to give you a little bit of a background. First of all, this girl is extremely attractive, which I have no problem with. I think she's hot too, but my fiance has said that to me in the past too. We've both kind of commented on how attractive she is. And that's all fine and good when that person is in a relationship with somebody else. It's not as big of a deal, but when you're hanging out with this person alone at their house, it's a little different. And then in addition to that, this girl just broke up with her boyfriend, so she's kind of in that potential rebound stage. And she also used to accuse her ex-boyfriend of hitting on me when they hung out at her house, which he totally wasn't. He's like a brother to me. He used to be our roommate several years ago. And so we really don't have that kind of relationship, but maybe she kind of felt weird about that. So I'm worried that this girl either has some sort of crush on my fiance and is testing the waters with him, or that maybe she feels pissed off at me for some reason because maybe she thought her boyfriend was, well, her now ex-boyfriend was hitting on me, and maybe that I was kind of baiting him to do that. So my problem now is that my fiance doesn't see any problem at all with hanging out with this girl, and maybe there isn't. But given the circumstances, I'm really uncomfortable with the situation, and I just want to know if I'm overreacting.
Nope.
This is bullshit. I'm anxious and upset.
No, if you could see our faces right now, we're all livid.
We're all wincing and upset.
But wait. Okay. Let's. We'll be delicate. I have a few questions. So if you guys have been together for 6 years, and you're recently engaged?
We got engaged in October.
Okay. And you're planning your wedding for 2019, and you guys live together?
Yes. We actually own a home together.
Okay. So, yeah, that's in and of itself a big source of pressure. I don't love at all the way your fiancé is responding to your questioning. You seem like a rational person. I always felt like if a guy starts to go with the whole thing of like, you're crazy, you're jealous. I don't know if he's doing that, but that's a red flag to me. And also, this defense is kind of lame on his part. And I know that you probably feel like a lot of women, and I've been there too, where it feels jealousy is such an awful feeling that it makes, and it makes you, you get like wrapped it up into it, and a manipulative person can use that, you know, that idea. And I don't want you to feel small in a time of like what should be like our we're planning our future together, right? It's a big fucking red flag that he doesn't understand. And I'm sorry to, but you guys go, because you guys know this.
Well, I just think that I don't want to be with anyone who's going to make me feel jealous. And it's one thing if you're being irrationally jealous, that would be a problem. But this, everything you just laid out is, I think most people would feel curious and insecure and concerned about. And if I'm going to commit the rest of my life to someone, I certainly don't want to be put in that position. I completely think it's rational for you to be jealous and confused and pissed off. And I don't know. I think I've been in that position where I felt horrible about it. And I don't want to choose people that wouldn't go, oh, I see what you're saying. I see how you felt that way, you know, or, you know, some sort of understanding.
What does your family think? Have you been able to talk about this with anybody else?
Well, I didn't want to alarm anybody because, we're planning a wedding together. And so there's already a lot of stress around that. So that's why I kind of wanted to get some outsiders' opinions because, I mean, all my family just absolutely loves my fiance to death. So I would never want to, without good reason, give them any reason to think otherwise. So that's kind of why I wanted to talk to you.
If he's going over there, she's an attractive girl. They're drinking in the daytime. It's not kosher, as my people say.
I'm confused by I'm confused by the fact that usually when people break up, people take sides. And it seems to me that your fiance's best friend, that should be the side that you're both on, right? And especially if you don't know her that well, I'm confused as to why he is still in her life, even though he should be siding with the friend. Does that make sense at all? Like, why are they hanging out alone, first of all? Does your fiance's friend know that they're hanging out socially together?
I don't think so. We just actually hung out with this friend the other night, and I don't think it ever came up in conversation, and I think he would probably feel weird.
I mean, if everything was out in the open and they're all really close friends and everything's fine, your fiance's friend doesn't care that they're hanging out socially because they're all friends, and you don't even know this girl, this is all just does not sound
right.
Well,
also, it's not going to be, if this is happening now, you're not even married yet, it's going to be something that recurs in your marriage.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. That it's not actually about this attractive girl at all. Like, this is about their relationship, of course. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't this girl, could it be somebody else?
It's also, I think, about respect.
Yeah.
I think this other spouse, and I think needs to go out of their way to make, because we all can be insecure, we all can be jealous, to say, hey, this is not that. I'm not going to put myself in a situation where I'm drinking in the daytime with a hot person that we both think is hot, hanging out in the
living room. Sim and I do that all the time, though.
Well, he just got married, so he didn't work. Your charms didn't work. I just think, you know, I would like to think that my one-day wife will go out of her way to make sure I don't feel that way.
So the question, I think, is, and I don't mean to be like sort of gender specific with this, but I do. Can you trust in your father or a brother or somebody to talk to your fiance to like kind of feel this out? And also what you should know is that if you cancel everything, it is so fine. Like if you walk away from the wedding and because the truth is, what I think that we're all feeling from the story, and we obviously don't know, but the story that we're all feeling here, I think, is that he's cheating on you.
Or flirting beyond what's acceptable.
Or close to it, or would cheat if given the opportunity.
Yeah.
Yes. If she made a move on him, we have to ask yourself, being totally honest with yourself, would he say no?
And I think that what Annalisa's gut is telling her is that probably something's happened. And whether it's kissing whatever, like, oh, we shouldn't
do it. I don't even know. My sense was, obviously we only had her paragraph, but it was not necessarily that anything had happened yet, but that he was still pushing the envelope of what's cool.
That was my problem. My problem with that was the fact that he was telling you that, hey, you shouldn't worry. Don't worry about it. We're just friends. It's fine. I didn't like that, because if the minute you told him that you felt uncomfortable with it, you should have said, I completely understand. I won't see her again. But the fact that he pushed back, that's a huge red flag.
Yeah, he said, I'm going to be hanging out with her again.
Right, exactly.
And that you included the details of how you had both viewed her as attractive, like sort of. So like there's something, like not odd, but truthfully, here's the thing. At the end of the day, you're young. There's a world of people out there that you can have incredible experiences with.
But that's hard because she's in love with this person.
Yes, true.
And you don't want to walk away from a marriage and the whole thing.
Well, they're not married yet. I'm just saying, don't get pressured into a marriage because the engagement has already happened.
Yes, I agree with that.
Because everyone else is involved with their own shit. So they, like, if you...
No one cares. You save yourself a blender.
I've had a couple of friends in my life that have cut off engagements, and I'm always so much more impressed with that than actually getting a divorce.
Right away.
Because
people get divorced like a year later, and you're like, you know what? Give me that fucking blender back.
Yeah.
You didn't earn it.
But it's also like, that takes so much courage to sort of recognize, oh, okay, here are the things that might not make me happy in 5 years, 6 years. So I know that at the risk of feeling a little bit of humiliation and my friends and family being like, what the fuck is going on? It's so much easier than going through a divorce. And yeah, because truly, like, people are so involved. Everyone's involved with their own stuff. So they don't. Just don't worry about feeling judged if you are second guessing getting actually married, because I'm not sure this guy is at this point in the game if he is making you feel secure, and that is hugely important.
Yeah.
And so I don't
that horrible feeling you have, you don't want to have throughout your life.
Exactly.
And it
you
sucks.
Do have to be careful sometimes that your brain just didn't go and make something insane up. But I think I've heard enough of what you said to think that's not the case.
And guys, I don't know if I'm wrong about this. There's a little bit of a mentality of, I can cheat before I'm actually married. And that's not some, like I can do all this stuff. I got to get it out of my system. Whatever is going on in his brain, that's not something that necessarily gets out of the system. So if that's what's going on with your fiance, I just don't know if it will dissipate. I think you should confide in a trusted source. And I think that you should also say, when the timing is right, to your fiance, I'm not quite sure what's going on with you and, I don't know, Cheryl, whatever. But I'm not sure that what you've told me adds up.
Or also just what's true for you, that this is this is how it makes me feel.
Right. And maybe say, like, please don't say anything until I finish. But this
I always
makes
do that. No, I do. I always say, I have a long paragraph prepared. Don't say anything until I'm done.
So what would you say?
For her?
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't prepared hers, but I'm saying I use that in communicating with the opposite sex. I would say, don't say anything until I'm done. I mean, it'd be way longer than this, but it would be something in the spirit of, you said you were going to keep hanging out with this girl, and that really makes me feel not right in my heart. And I don't want that. I don't think you should be hanging out with women, attractive or not, to you during the day and drinking as a married man. That's not going to be okay with me as your wife. And I don't want to feel like shit to my new husband. And it feels a little bit inconsiderate of you to not think how it would make me feel.
I think you can also say, and honestly, I think there is a little more to the story that you feel like you can't tell me. And I'm not asking that of you right now, but I can't enter into a marriage without knowing that I feel completely safe.
Hey, Annalisa, I know this is a lot.
I'm so sorry.
I think we fucked it up more.
Well, I mean, were you expecting this reaction from us
also,
at all?
Also, can I marry you?
Can you imagine? She's like, sorry, guys, I didn't hear a word you said.
Wait, you were not expecting this reaction?
No, I was not. I mean, I think that a lot of the things that you're saying reflect a lot of what I was feeling, but I feel like your reaction's even stronger than my own, which
oh god,
scares
I'm
me
sorry.
A little bit.
I'm sorry. It's Anna's fault. I was just supposed to be in Burbank today.
I'm a pretty modern person. I mean, I by no means do I condone or accept there to be infidelity in any relationship that I'm in, but I mean, I'm okay with the idea of my forever, you know, partner in life to find other women attractive and to have friends who are women that are attractive. But I think a lot of the things that you're saying kind of confirm the way I was feeling, and that this particular situation is not okay, and that it's okay that I feel the way that I do.
Yes.
Completely. So I should definitely stand my ground about it and see what he has to say about that.
I think most importantly too, I mean, obviously if you guys have some arrangement that makes you feel okay, then by all means work that out just so there's clear communication. But you felt horrible enough in your heart to write this letter and to ask for some stupid stranger's advice like us. So it means that something came up for you, and it will likely continue to come up again, I imagine, unless you kind of come to some sort of agreement with your fiance.
I've been in relationships where it's only in hindsight that I realized that the person didn't value me. And they're great learning experiences. And I do believe that it's important to feel a little bit like a heartbreak in life. But if I could have learned those lessons a little bit earlier, I think, I don't know. I remember in the time, like the idea of trying to make a bad thing work and feeling like, all right, but this is normal, or like, this is what guys do, or like,
I
this
felt
is...
that after two dates.
But I'm sorry to like give, I hope this, it wasn't.
Maybe we were too negative. Now I'm having second thoughts.
But
I don't know. I don't think so.
I think you're not feeling valued.
She definitely has to have a clear communication.
Yeah. I think it's so important that you feel valued. It's so important that everyone feels valued.
I guess the shortest answer I could give you is if the tables were totally turned and my fiance did that to me, I'd be really upset about it.
Oh my God. I think I would too.
You just got married, so you can relate.
I wouldn't.
If my fiance was like, hey, I have to talk to you. You know that guy we both think is super hot?
Yeah.
I was over at his house today drinking, and I'm going to keep doing it, just so you know.
No. While we're, absolutely not. Not happening.
No.
So I guess my final advice, talk to a close family member. Because I think that anybody else outside of the situation would understand that something's not sitting right. And also talk to him. And he may try to manipulate you a little bit, like what happened to me in the past, which was like, you know, you're crazy. You're a crazy actress, whatever.
Or he might be like, don't listen to Anna Faris. She doesn't know anything.
I'm unqualified.
She's fucking on F Troop.
But with another trusted friend, I would seek their advice. And I would also... When the timing is right, it's all about timing with a fiance. I would say, like I don't understand this. I spelled this out for me. And please don't make me feel like I'm insane. I don't think I am. Because I don't think that normal, engaged people behave this way. Oh, God.
Annalisa,
will you please
I'm sorry.
Keep us
updated, please.
Yeah, because I...
Okay,
please
I
know,
will.
Please know that you are not alone. There's going to be so many people that are going to respond to this, and so many people that have been there. And you,
I think you can't hear your story and not go, oh, I remember when I was in something similar to that.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And I'm telling you, we'll hopefully, you know, we're going to be getting a ton of feedback with people sharing their stories that sound exactly the same. And I've had my own. Please keep us updated. Please know that we love you. I love you.
Thank you so much, Annalisa.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Well, now I'm sad.
Well, Did we just break her heart?
No, I don't want to break her heart. I felt like it was like an intervention.
Are we going to lie to her? Like, what is? I mean, we're not going to lie to her.
No, we can't.
Now I'm sad. We broke her up.
But what if we prevented? Like,
she's 25 years old.
She's 25.
So you guys think? I mean, because I think he's totally cheated. I'm sure they've been fucking.
I don't know about the cheating part.
I think he's probably pushing.
I
think he's probably pushing the envelope to have fun flirting, but not to plug my own work. But I once made a movie about this. It was called The Last Kiss. Rachel Bilson implies that he should come over for one last fling before he gets married. And it's about a guy wrestling with that. And it made me think of that movie because I think this guy sounds like, you went to that he definitely cheated. My brain didn't do that. My brain went, this guy's like enjoying flirting, and if it went there, it would go there. But he's pushing the envelope of what he can do before he gets married, which is super bad for a fiance.
I don't like him for her at all. Nope. We have one more call, by the way. Let's do it.
Yeah, I hope that she keeps in touch, though.
I hope we did a good job.
We did. We told her the truth.
Yeah, I know.
Why do you seem so browfurrowed?
Because she feels, because Annalisa feels terrible after this conversation. I know she does.
Yeah, but
she wanted to hear that she, I don't know.
I don't know either. That she had,
Do you often help people or is it always this?
I know, we always fucking devastate them.
Hello?
Liz?
Yeah?
Hi, Liz. It's Sim. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm going to introduce Anna right now.
Hi, Liz.
Hi. I can't believe this is happening. I've been listening to y'all since basically the first episode. Never thought I would be on the phone. Let alone talking about this topic.
I love you.
Well, we're going to try and help you. Thanks. First, Anna is going to introduce our special guest.
We have Zach Braff.
Hi, Liz. I'm here to help.
Hi.
Liz.
How are you?
Hi, Liz. I'm hopefully going to be helpful in giving you the best advice that I can, because I'm really ready.
I hope so, because I've only had a female's perspective at this point.
Oh, you're about to have.
It's going to be awesome.
You're about to have a pillar of masculinity's two cents.
Tell us what's going on with your boyfriend.
All right. So we've been together for about 8 months now. The first month, it was pretty casual, fun, normal. But then I guess after a month, we started being more exclusive and hanging out more. We started, sleeping together on weeknights. And it kind of quickly turned into this, I think I want to sleep with him more than he wants to with me. It would just be like, we'd be going to bed and he'd just be like, oh, I'm tired, and which is fair. But then it kind of just kept happening. And it's not like I wanted it every single night, but it turned into like every 3 or 2 days. And this was all like still pretty new, like in the honeymoon. I still think it's in the honeymoon phase, but I've never really experienced that before. And then meanwhile, I would get on Instagram either the day of or the next day and would see him like following all these Instagram models, and not only just Instagram models, like younger girls that live here in Austin that are like 20 or something, and he's 29. And they all kind of had like the same, like, I don't know, features. So they would all be super curvy. I'm brunette and not near as curvy as the girls that he's been following and looking at. And then just, going and seeing him after seeing that, and then him not, just wanting to go straight to bed, like, definitely did not make me feel good. And so it just kind of got to a point that I just broke down and I said something about it. And this was like a week ago that I finally just like said, hey, like, I see all this stuff that you're doing. And like, normally I wouldn't care, but I feel like it's translating to our relationship and when we're together, and I just don't feel good enough. Like, he doesn't even say any comments about me physically, which sounds superficial, but it's like, I want to feel like I'm attracted to him as much as he's attracted to me. Like, just looking at him turns me on, and I don't feel that way with him. And then So when we had this conversation, he basically admitted, he was like, I haven't told anyone this, but kind of since my existence, I've watched a ton of porn. And so when he told me that, honestly, I really wasn't that surprised because he's a pretty sexual guy, which also doesn't help knowing that. Like one time we were playing that heads up game and the theme was adult, and like you didn't even have to finish the sentence for him to know which porn star it was. And so I kind of already knew that, but at the same time I was like, I don't care what you watch, but it's affecting like our relationship physically, and I don't feel like I'm good enough for you to where I turn you on. And then after we had that conversation, I feel like it almost got worse. And I don't know, like, how graphic I can get right now.
Get graphic. Please.
Like, this
we're drinking
like
wine on Tuesday.
Like, we were probably making out for a good 10 minutes. Like, he went down on me, and I thought he was ready, and he was nowhere near ready. And so I was like, all right, just lay back. Like, I'll help out. And he was like, no, your hand. Like, your mouth isn't going to do anything. Like, use your hand. And I was like, what the, like... Do I suck that much at that? Because I definitely haven't heard that before. Like, before I've met you, I was pretty confident in, like, you know, the way I look and just that aspect of my life. And just this whole thing is bringing out all my insecurities. And I guess, like, my question is a little twofold. Because how do you have this conversation to where it's productive and, like, something changes out of it? Because I've never wanted to be that girlfriend that's like, no, you can't watch what you want to watch because I'm not innocent. But at the same time, like I said, just looking at him turns me on, and it's just taking so much effort for him to physically be able to have sex with me. And also, is this a common problem in society? Because talking with my girlfriends, they've never had this problem. I've never had this problem. I mean, unless like, you know, a guy's really wasted. And I mean, I feel like that's pretty normal. I'm just afraid this is going to turn into a trust issue later on down the road. I'm almost pretty sure if one of those girls that he follows was in his bed, like he wouldn't be having that problem if it was them and not me.
Liz,
it's kind of how I feel.
First of all, this is such a common problem. Number one. Number two.
Okay.
I do not like him for you at all. I think that your body should be worse. Like, you should feel as sexually alive and confident in a relationship as you make somebody else feel. You seem like an incredibly smart, incredibly, like, rational, sexy human, and you should be made to feel that way. And I don't know if even talking with him necessarily works. This sounds like a deeper thread. And I was going to ask you, like, what other things about him do you like? Like, I mean,
that's what's making this so difficult is outside of the bedroom. He is amazing. Like, all my friends love him. I mean, I haven't told really anyone this. So like talking with my girlfriends that I haven't told this to, they're like, it looks like he loves you, like he adores you, he's always like worried about you and caring about you, my parents love him, just I don't know. And like talking to him about this most recently and about that specific night, he was like, I'm sorry, there was just a lot of pressure, like I can't, especially if I'm thinking about it, it can't just happen. But at the same time, I'm like, you're 29, like you're young. I don't know.
Okay. First, this is definitely where we are super fucking unqualified.
I can talk about erections.
Because maybe there's a time and a place where you can say, okay, listen, here's a support group, but I don't know if I can continue on with this, you know, with like seeing 5-6 years from now, and telling him that you want to feel incredibly desired and asking him like, what parts of my body do you like? And like, tell me, like grab my tits and be like, ah, oh, I love this, or whatever, or like my ass and be
you
like,
growl,
oh,
you went, arr. Grab my tits and go, arr.
Yeah, and like your, you know, your lips or your hair or whatever, and like you may have to sort of coach him a little bit, but I don't know if that's necessarily your job if you don't want it at all. I think you're going to have to really examine how much investment you want to put into this. And I don't want you to go another year or two, you know, not feeling like a sexy, gorgeous woman.
Well, I think a couple of things. There's this Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie that really makes me think about that he directed.
Yes, I know.
What's it called, that movie?
Oh, the Don Juan?
Don Juan, yeah.
What's it called?
It's about this very issue, yeah. about this age of porn everywhere and men shooting their proverbial load, if you will, in the afternoon. And then their woman comes home and they're not horny anymore because they've masturbated. I think a 29-year-old guy, you know, is probably not going to be... horny, you know, if he's already masturbated, he's probably not going
to
be
horny. But he's probably masturbating to the craziest shit out there.
But that's irrelevant. The
so
point
no, no,
is that
is, that's not, I'll tell you why it's relevant. It's relevant because how is she going to live up to what his fantasy from during the day?
I'm saying no matter what he ejaculated to, he's still on empty by the time his beautiful
done.
Girlfriend
right,
comes
right,
home.
Right, exactly. He is on empty.
If he's 18, he might have three more ejaculations to go.
Good point.
But if he's 29, he might have a load per day.
Yes.
True, but why?
Load per day is a great title for a new movie, by the way. Write that down.
But why is he following all the Instagram models? Like what's that about?
That's kind of like the new Playboy, I think, for men. The new Maxim, the new is like Instagram.
Okay, it's still not a strong argument.
No, I'm saying the truth is, I think a lot of men, I mean, it's pretty brazen to follow them, actually, but I think a lot of men search Instagram because back in the day when our fathers were like looking through Playboy
or whatever Maxim was
back in the day,
right?
It's now that's just all Instagram. So I don't think this, I mean, whatever, he's a horny dude. He's probably flipping through pictures of girls. The problem is that he's not saving any of his horniness for his woman.
No, I don't think that's a problem at all.
Really?
I think that he's not necessarily hearing her, or I mean, maybe it's, I don't know.
Yeah. One other question I had when he told me, he was like, look, I haven't told really anyone this. So the questions that started going through my mind was like, have you not had this problem in the past with past girlfriends? Was it just swept under the rug? Is it just me?
Like what else do I not know about you? Right. I don't know. Maybe you guys...
At 29, he should have more than two loads in him.
Per day?
Yeah, I think two minimum.
It depends on the man,
right? But
what his LPD is.
But I think this problem is twofold. I think there's, you know, part of it is the porn addiction, the fact that he doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have enough load in him for later. But the
Wait,
other part of it
he
is that
not
he's
not work all day. Does Liz what? Does he not work all day?
Yeah, he works, and like sometimes I'm not gonna lie, I'll see that he like started following whoever. During like while he's at work,
that's
I'm like,
bad.
Are you just in the bathroom like doing this, or I don't know.
Also, I will say about erectile dysfunction that I think it's not only that he's out of loads, but that also once it's happened, he could be having anxiety about performance anxiety. So it's like that can be a spiral where you're like, why aren't you fucking hard? And the last thing he's gonna do is get hard if his girlfriend's going, why aren't you hard? You know, it's like. Your body has no room to rush blood to your penis it's panicking.
I do wonder if men have gotten so used to jerking off so much that their hand is so much more familiar than a vagina.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, your hand is...
So much more familiar.
Oh, like, I think you meant like another...
No,
hand is familiar because we've been doing it for so long.
Yeah, the man's hand.
Right.
Right hand, left hand, I don't know, whatever, whichever. Suits. It's so much more familiar.
I think it's a combo.
It's so much easier.
I think it's a combo sandwich of he's not horny anymore because he's probably masturbated, and now he knows with you there's this anxiety. Could he possibly not get hard? And so he's even more anxious.
Right.
And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
He wants to please you so badly that he's getting into his own head.
Yeah, you can read up on this. I'm sure someone way more articulate than us about anxiety, you know, performance anxiety. But it sounds like once it happened once. he's now he's super anxious when he's about to have sex with you. So he's getting in his head.
Liz, I think that you have to tell him all of this stuff. If you really love
play this interview for him.
but truly though, if you really love him and love all the elements part, like except for whatever, I just want to make sure that you feel sexy and loved, because that's a very important part of the relationship, of course. And I think it sucks when sort of the woman has to take an initiative on like the sexual part of the relationship, because we're sort of socialized to feel insecure about that. I think that you should, in this case, if you really love him, I don't know if you guys can go away for a weekend or something, and you can say, like, let's sort of play a bit. I'm going to go down on you. Please don't come. Like, tell him, like, don't you fucking dare come.
Whoa, I just got hard. That's my new ringtone.
And then I'm going to shove my tit in your mouth.
Wait, slow down.
I'm gonna
going
to sit on your face.
You're going way too fast right now.
And then I'm going to leave you in bed for a minute. Like, I don't know, if you can, because that's how sexuality's morphed. Well, maybe it's always been it's always been such a forbidden area, but.
You know what I like about you, Liz,
what?
Is that you sound,
oh, I thought
not
me.
You, Jesus fucking narcissist. She hears, that's a total actress for you. You know what I like about you? What? No, not you. You sound very sexual, and you're confident in your sexuality, which I think is super attractive. And you're saying, like, look, I find him so fucking hot, and I'm horny, and I feel my, you know, you sound like someone who's sexually confident and knows what she wants. And this doesn't sound like it's what you want, because sexuality is a big part of a relationship. If you're talking about going the long haul, this is someone you're going to eventually commit to someone to only have sex with them for the rest of your life. Not to say this couldn't be worked out, but it is a giant red flag. You're right to call Anna Faris and ask for her unqualified advice.
Right. And like having this conversation with him and hearing the words come out of my mouth, it's so weird. I mean, this is almost like ego bruising and not only just making me feel insecure, but I just feel like I can't formulate the right words to explain this without sounding crazy or difficult or demanding or just superficial. I don't know.
Oh God, no.
You sound
so healthy,
way,
Liz.
I'll bet there's so many people that listen to your podcast that can relate to this woman's story.
Oh, fuck yeah. Well, there's been like the whole idea of how we've been socialized as women. In order to be cool, in quotations, it's like you're supposed to accept your boyfriend's porn obsession, or like you're supposed to be cool with. And I don't know exactly where I fall into any of that necessarily, but I do know that I want to feel fucking worshipped.
You do know that if your boyfriend came home and multiple times didn't want to sleep with you or couldn't get hard, that you'd be concerned probably.
I want to feel loved and admired, and I want to be able to give that back. And it's a sticky area.
Wow, you're good.
Oh God,
that's the kind of gold.
Not in my world.
Oh, she said not.
Liz
for the win.
Yeah.
Hey, Liz, we have to go, but I hope this advice is okay.
Liz, I'm sorry that it wasn't helpful at all.
No, this was great. Like, especially hearing from y'all and not just like my three girlfriends, because I've been too afraid to talk about this with anyone that I know. So yeah, this has been awesome.
I think the best solution is like always, and this is like not unique advice, but just like brutal honesty. Like if you're going to be beating off all the time and not saving that for us, then that's a problem. And you know, you can forgive erectile dysfunction. That's a problem that men have, and often has to do with anxiety or obviously age. But he's 29, so that doesn't count. But so I mean, that's something that can be worked on. But like if you're actively knowing that, hey, we might hook up tonight, but you're beating off in the cubicle at work. That's
right.
There's multiple problems about beating off in the cubicle at work.
But and also Liz too, like I think I don't know, it might be interesting if things go well with that initial conversation, to be slightly dominant, and say like, okay, you're in bed, you know, whatever, when you guys are in bed and relaxed.
Don't go too fast. Take the slow.
God. The F troop room is about to get sticky. I don't know. I would just be slightly more aggressive. Fuck you. Fuck you. I'm not giving it all up to you, you fucking ass. Sorry, not you, Liz. My new friend, Zach.
Well, I mean, you said I would be dominant. I would say something like, colon, and then you've yet to produce anything that's useful to anyone. For all we know, Liz's boyfriend is listening to this and trying to masturbate feverishly to it.
Oh, God. I don't get many ideas.
Sorry, Liz.
I would just sit on his face, you know. The old go-to. F-troop
go-to. That's the old standby. Sit on his face.
When all else fails. So basically what you're saying is when all else fails, just sit on their face?
Yep. Shuts them up.
Let me write that
down. They can't look at anything but the bottom of the tit.
I'm going to write that down.
Oh, my God. Liz.
But truly, thank you so much because we've gotten this question a lot. And thank you so much for sharing because this is, it's so not uncommon. But it's important to me that you feel really good about who you are, and you know.
I bet this is a very common problem.
Oh yeah, yeah. In this day and age,
Liz, with this internet.
I love you. Thank you so much. Please keep us posted if you feel like it. We love you. I love you. Bye.
For sure, I love y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
It's a totally common problem, right?
I think it is.
But here's the thing, though. I didn't want to say this because I felt so awful after the first call. That
don't worry, she won't be listening.
I know, she's not listening now, but I don't think the story ends well. It just doesn't.
Neither one of those stories ends well.
Yeah. No.
Even if she tells him to stop watching porn, save the LPD for me, it's not going to
work. I think that women,
There's a new problem now with porn in your situation. Porn in your pocket, I think, is going to be a growing problem.
Yes.
Pun intended.
Because there's always, I think that there's this idea that there's always something better. Or like, because, you know, y'all are kind of stupid.
Well, he's like looking at 19, 20-year-old Instagram models.
Right.
And he's, you know, jerking off in his cubicle.
Right.
Yeah, or the stall of the bathroom.
Or whatever, yeah.
And then he's coming home and he's had his LPD.
He's had his LPD.
And she's like, I'm horny. And he's like, oh, let's watch The Family Guy.
This is so fucking depressing. what is there a win? Is there a win for a woman?
I think for him, if he's truly a porn addict, he would need to get counseling to chill out on the porn.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we didn't ask her how
counseling is an extreme step, or just stop fucking watching porn every day.
That's the first step.
There are people who need to go.
What
get
if
help.
He's been doing it for like 13 years?
Well, there was a certain point in their relationship when they were fucking a lot, I'm sure.
Well, I don't know anyone that has a healthy sex life and is also addicted to porn. I don't know anyone like that, or at least
really.
I don't know. I don't talk to my guy friends.
I think if you're having great sex, you don't really want porn because you're having great sex.
Absolutely.
So what's a woman to do? What is a woman to do in this day and age? Like when a guy is sort of from like age of 14 now, 13, whatever, they can start watching crazy, crazy ass porn.
Anytime they want, right there on their, yeah.
With like unrealistic body types, tons of moaning and groaning.
Different fantasies, different type of, of course.
So whatever twisted thing you can think of.
Absolutely.
The human population, maybe this is part of the grand plan. It's like the fruit fly jar experiment. It's like, this is how our master creator, not the masturbator, but the master creator is limiting our population. Figured it out. You guys are jerking off too much. We're not having babies.
It is a conundrum.
Yep. Everything's going down. All right. And it's thanks to your fucking sick minds.
I think Liz needs to find someone that is so excited to sleep with her that exactly. He doesn't want to waste his sperm on Insta porn.
Who doesn't
yes,
want the
but
real
you
thing?
You know how hard that is to find? And when intended, I say hard.
Pun intended.
Oh my God. We should wrap this up.
Why? Have you ever done a 3-hour episode? Let's do it. How many more callers can we take?
God. So. Hey, dear listeners, thank you so much for listening. And please also write in with your thoughts and comments about our callers and Zach Braff.
Mm. And Zach, why don't you promote his thing?
Yeah, promote my thing.
Okay. I'm going to promote your thing. Hey, you guys. Zach's new show, Alex Inc. Oh, that's a terrible... I gotta put more oomph, right?
Yeah. And just like be excited about it. Like you watched every episode.
Hey, you guys. Zach's new show, Alex, Inc., premieres Wednesday, March 28th on ABC, 8:30, 7:30 Central. And I got to tell you, it is so fucking good.
It is really good, but if you believe for a second that she's seen it, she's fucking...
Here, read your own rest of the copy there.
Hey, you guys. Zach's new show, Alex Ng, premieres Wednesday, March 28th on ABC. It's on at 8:30, 7:30 if you live in those mountains. And it says here, it's about Alex, who's in his mid-30s with a wife and two kids, makes the crazy decision to quit his good job and dive into the brave new world
of
starting a business.
Oh, my God, you're so fucking bad.
But listen, let me tell you something. Here's what's relevant to your listeners, if I can give them the hard sell.
It's fine. Yeah.
It's about a guy who starts a podcast. And this is, as they say, a very successful podcast, the one I'm on.
As they say.
And if you like podcasts, it's about a guy. It's actually a true story. If you've ever heard of the podcast Startup, which was another successful podcast, we optioned that guy's life story and made it into a comedy. And if you're listening to this, you like podcasts. So, A.
Yeah, you like them
Startup
so much that you've been hanging in there till the end.
Well, check out Startup, which is a podcast that is really good. The first season is the one upon which our show
is
based.
It's called Witch Hunt?
No, that was Trump's tweet today. Witch Hunt. Did you see that? All
yeah,
caps?
I did.
He just tweeted all caps, Witch Hunt. Anyway. Anyway.
We're all going to die. Wait,
before we die, I want you to watch my show. Hopefully you won't die before March 28th.
Hey, Zach.
Yeah.
It's been so amazing.
I think you're amazing,
so
and I can't wait to get in the massage chair.
Yeah,
thank you.
Fuck yeah.
Thanks, Zach.
Hand
thank
is sweaty.
Good night, everyone.
Sweaty
hand. Sweaty.